Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, my partners in the book business again, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, it's good to be back in the studio doing radio the way the Lord intended after a week off, a little week of rest, to recharge and to make a landmark publishing deal, something that everywhere I go now, like, people won't shut up about it. It's all I hear about. It sent shockwaves, really, through the publishing industry. And that is, boys, our brand new contract with Harvest House to put out a Happy Rant reader, a Happy Rant essay collection of some kind. And we're still kind of banging the dents out of the fenders in terms of exactly what that's going to look like. But the ink is dry on the contract. I mean, it's no Echo Canyon. You know, just we got to set expectations accordingly. But we are excited about it. We're going to talk a bit about that process today. But Pipe, let's get the business out of the way right up top, man. Tell us about Dwell Bible. We just got a new influx of cash, like a bag of money from Dwell. And we're excited about them as well. Tell us about Dwell Bible, Pipe.
Dwell's our longtime sponsor. It's an audio Bible app. Listeners, you will be familiar with this. But what I want to highlight is that they actually offer gift cards. So if you are a Dwell user, and I assume by now all of you are because we've brought this up, I don't know, for like 80 straight episodes, you can actually give Dwell at a discount to your loved one. So if you just go to dwellapp.io/happyrant, there's your discount there, but you can go buy gift cards. And I think it's 10% off of the annual fee that you can give, or 20% off the lifetime subscription. So you can buy those gift cards, give them to others. They also have Advent and Christmas playlists, so you can listen through the passages of Scripture, the prophecies, Luke 2, the various accounts from the Gospels. So In a genuine effort to get in the real Christmas spirit, Dwell is set up to help you with that too. So again, go to dwellapp.io/happyrant. You can get your 20% discount there. You can go through that to find the gift cards to give it to loved ones for a Christmas gift. You can find those Christmas and Advent playlists, and then all of the other features and playlists and listening plans and everything that they offer. So again, dwellapp.io/happyrant. Check that out.
Well, there we go. What a company. What a company to be doing business with. And boys, I've got a few questions about our new book, and I want to work through those, but we can kind of take this conversation wherever you want to take it. So
to be fair, I think all we have at this point is questions about our new book.
That's right. It's the emergent church. Questions and no answers. So we're running it back to like 2004. Feels good. All right. Question number one. Was anybody in your life excited about this? Like, how impressed were people in your life when this news came? And just to like frame this a little bit of context. So this is not a flex. At some point you do so many books that it becomes not a flex. It's like, you had to do that many just to like pay bills. So this is, I don't know, like number 30 for me. And, it was almost like I had to shoehorn it in conversationally. It just in between the day-to-day stuff of life, like, hey, who's picking up Maxim? Also, I got a new book deal. Oh, cool. You know, what are we doing for dinner? You know? So it kind of got shoehorned in, but I want to know
subtext. Will that advance cover dinner?
Yeah. Barely, you know, the answer is barely. Depends where we go kind of thing. But, yeah, not a lot of people being impressed. And I'm at that stage, and I want to, maybe this is a digression into like therapy and dad stuff, but I'm at that stage where like my kids are way more impressed with like other people's dads than they are with me. Like they're impressed by like the Ramsey, you know, Christian slumlord guys who like ate crackers for 10 years and didn't buy their wives Christmas gifts. And now they own like 6 properties or whatever. And I'm like, man, what do I have to do to impress my kid? Apparently, like, be a Christian slumlord. But I don't know. Where are you guys at on, like, how impressed people were in your life with this?
Well, Baby, mine was remarkably similar.
Oh, no, baby.
Let me just say it like that.
I'm really sad to hear that. That's not what I wanted to hear.
I remember I was on a phone meeting, and I happened to be, it was early in the morning, so I'm in my bedroom kind of getting ready while I'm doing it, right? I'm finishing up. Big M comes into the room. She was just grabbing her phone and some things to like jet out the door because she had something she needed to get to. And I have my phone on mute, and I just said, oh, I said, by the way, I go, that we got that, I'm like trying to remember. I'm all, you know, we got that deal, the deal. And she goes, what are you talking about? I go for the Happy Round book. And she goes, oh, well, that's cool. And literally just,
dude,
I mean,
right.
Already had 3 feet out the door in the car, started it down the driveway. And I just finished up my call. And I said, and then later on, she came home and I said, hey, Big M, I said, remember that thing I told you about the book for the rant? And she goes,
you tried it again. You went at it again. Yeah,
it was literally like a double pump. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And totally. she goes, oh, wait, so you guys are going to write that book? And I said, yeah. And she goes, well, I mean, like, what is that even going to be like? I said, I have no idea.
Yeah. And that was it.
So there it was, man. It was just brimming with hope.
Just a big night of dreaming for you and Big M.
I mean, she was literally saying, you know, you guys got to know something about Big M. She reads probably, without exaggeration, 2 to 3 novels a week. She's a voracious reader. And she, you know, for her, it was like, man, I'm going to have to suspend all of that just in preparation for when this thing drops.
So she likes reading, but she's, if you're doing that kind of volume as a reader, like you really like reading, but you're not that impressed with books because books are around all the time. You know?
Yeah, seriously, man. It's like it's like somebody who cooks all the time going into a kitchen and seeing a bunch of ingredients, you know, on the kitchen island. It's like something they love, but they're not going to be just blown away by it.
Okay. Pipe's a little younger. I want to know, like, how did this news go over in your family, Pipe? Was your wife impressed?
She was because it's the first book contract I've signed since we got married. So it's
she believes that everything's real, Pipe. She believes
there's a freshness and an excitement to this, and you know, so she was very proud of me and of us. She listens to the podcast as well. So like she, you know, and when we were dating, it was, I don't know, like our first or second date, I told her, I was like, you don't have to read anything I've written. Nor do you have to listen to the podcast. Like, I have no expectations of that. But so she does this all very voluntarily and seems to enjoy it. Either that or she just, you know, is long-suffering already. But yeah, so she was excited and impressed. And then we were with her family for Thanksgiving, and they were all very impressed because, again, it was the first contract that I've signed since joining that family. So,
you got some juice at Thanksgiving from this.
I did. And it was kind of crazy because I wasn't excited. Like I wasn't not excited. I was just kind of like you guys, like, oh yeah, this has been in the works for a while. You know, it'll be fun, but also
we wrote like 16 proposals for it.
Yeah.
Even though we wrote no proposal. Yeah.
We've done this before kind of thing. And so, it, you know, it's one of those things where it's fun when other people get excited for you. Cause you go, oh, right. I guess that is a big deal.
I guess this still works. This still like moves the needle for other people, which is a good feeling. Okay. Follow-up question. And forgive me. I don't know why I'm so obsessed with this right now, but like, are your kids impressed with you?
Oh, geez. At
what level?
My kids were much more impressed that I preached at church a couple weeks ago than that. I mean, as far as they're concerned, like writing is a thing that I do, that doesn't involve them in the slightest. And I don't think they care.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense, actually. Big R? I mean, your child is like an adult, so maybe it's a non-starter for you.
Yeah, it's a total non-start. I mean, she doesn't even know. I mean, we haven't even discussed it. She doesn't even know we're doing a book unless Big M laid it out on her. I mean, we have like, it hasn't come up in any of our recent conversations at all.
So there wasn't like a big phone call to her just about the book.
It would be like this. Honestly, I can tell you exactly. It would probably start with a text, right? And I'd be like, hey, babe. I'd be like, so we're actually going to be writing a book. Because she was an early listener, early fan of the rant. Yeah. I don't think she listens much anymore. But I would write that. I would say, hey, so we got this book deal for the rant. Kind of weird or kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And she would write back. She'd go, wow. That's what she was saying.
Yeah, so completely ambiguous. You're like, is this a sarcastic wow or an earnest wow? You don't know.
Oh, no. I know. It's not an earnest wow. It's a wow. Okay. Like, I don't know how to react. If you want me to try to, conjure up some level of excitement, it's probably not there. And she's probably really happy that I'm texting her this instead of doing it live on the phone so that she doesn't have to, like, do any of the
phone. It requires a lot less that way. Yeah.
It's like the text version of somebody who tells you this long, boring story about nothing, and you just go, oh, that's really interesting. Oh,
crazy.
Dude, 100.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah, that's exactly. How about that?
Yeah, just like this, like, please don't make me try to find some faux emotion for this. I'm begging you. That would be my very own Bethy
Martin. That's tough. That's really tough.
It's okay. I mean, I don't, like, my expectation isn't for anything other than that.
That's
so
probably good. That's probably a good way to live.
Yeah. What I might do is just start making some jokes based on her lack of emotion about it. And then that could actually turn into kind of a funny convo between the two of us.
There you go. Oh, that's good.
There you go.
Next question, boys.
Wait, you didn't. I think you sort of answered the question, Ted, that you said your kids are way more impressed with other people's dads. Do they know that this book is happening? And B, do they give a rat's behind?
They do not. They do not give a rat's behind to answer that part of the question, to be clear. They do know that it's happening in as much as conversations about it have happened, like, within earshot. But I mean, look, part of the magic of being young, and Bethy still probably slides into this age category in that she's in her 20s. Like, when you're young, you legitimately don't care about anything that doesn't involve you.
Yeah.
Even your 100%. Quote unquote altruism, or even your outward acts of like kindness towards others, it's really all about you. And they are aware that it's happening and do not care, which is okay.
I mean, that only increases by like 12% as we're being sanctified, right?
What's that?
And when we get older, that only increases by like percentages, right? Caring about what other people are.
Well, dude, I hope. Yeah, I mean, I hope it does. I hope.
Yeah,
I hope it increases.
You sort of grow into knowing that you should care, even if you don't. So somebody's like, "Hey, I signed a book deal," and you're like, "That's great," and you don't care about the book, but like you know that you should care about their excitement. So there's sort of that. It's like it's that sort of thing.
I'm happy that you're happy, but I don't care about your book.
Well, being inquisitive is part of caring, though, too. So like, so here's the thing, like, so. If one of you told me, hey, I just signed a deal, here's like when Pipe talked to me about his Hoping for Happiness book, I mean, I was genuinely I was genuinely happy for him. I was genuinely, I was interested in like the topic of the book. So even though like it's a book that I have nothing to do with, like there was a genuine interest in it. Like, oh, sure. Tell me that. I want to hear about that. Right. So
Yeah. And for me, it was on the level of like, you guys are writers. I know that it's good for writers when they get book deals. So I'm glad when you get a book deal, you know?
Right.
But I will say this. This is what I think is funny, though. Mm-hmm. Not fun. This is what I think is fun. What I think is fun about a co-author gig. Mm-hmm. So Pipe, this will be your first foray into this.
Since dude, right.
Yeah. I've never co-authored. You guys get to show me how it's done.
This is our third co-author with me and Big T, but I'll tell you what's
old
I'll tell you the thing about a co-author thing is it really is more fun because like we get to have convos like this, we get to share in the joy when it's just your own book that you're kind of looking around for people to kind of like dip into the joy. But like we just said, it's hard to find that. Whereas with this, we get to, it's a shared joy, which I think is really fun. It's more fun, I think.
Yeah. That's, you know, what's cool about it, baby, is like, it's almost like you're performing for somebody else, like in the moment, in that. If I write something funny and I send it to you guys and you guys think it's funny, then like you get an immediate satisfaction that's not there when you just write a whole book by yourself.
100%, man. That is so accurate. I mean, that is right. And even when we did our sample chapter, just to let our listeners know, like it was a really enjoyable for me. I'll speak.
It really was
an enjoyable process. And it was like, oh, hey, this is actually going to be like, it's really going to be fun. And that once we figured out the format, it was like, man, this is really going to be enjoyable and natural and fun, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of fun.
One quick, one kind of follow-up question about excitement. Is there anything that has more like excitement followed by lengthy letdown than announcing a book contract. Like, we're letting listeners know that we have this book contract. They're not going to see this thing until they retire. Like, that's how long the publishing process takes. So, like, we're thrilled. Uh-huh. We haven't done any work on this. The publishing date is far away. Yeah. And I don't say that to let people down, but as much as there's like people are like, oh, when is it going to come out? And you're like, when you're 74, you know, there's
exactly.
You know, it's called hope. We're
hoping for publication.
Something to hope about. It could be out by this time next year. We're not sure yet about that, right? So
the
it's gonna be a Christmas drop, a Christmas 21 drop.
So. Oh my goodness! Yeah,
That was my younger daughter's reaction anytime that I do any writing stuff is always confused because she's like, "Oh, you like where's the book?" And I'm like, doesn't exist and it won't come out for forever. So she'll hear about it for long enough that she's tired of it by the time it comes out.
You're like, sweetheart, I'll give it to you at your wedding. You know,
that's right. It will be a high school graduation present at the earliest.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, look, I just think, man, what, you know, just to let listeners know a little bit, you know, this is going to be this really is going to be a written version of what you hear on the program. It would really make for a great Christmas gift too. That's why I hope this thing drops around the holidays.
There you go. A little selling. I like it. So. A little, you're already selling. I like it a lot.
On behalf of all of us, of my co-authors, you know.
Now, Piper, we've got on the program, we've got Retreat Man as a part of this thing. Mr. Retreat, the king of the retreat, the getaway. I, in the course of, I don't know, 25 to 30 books, depends who you ask, I've never been on a writing retreat. Like, I've never like packed a bag and gone away and like, hey, I'm gonna hole up in this room and be a writer, you know, which I have really romantic notions of, and I really do want to do that at some point in my life.
It sucks. It sucks to do that. It's awful.
Does it?
Tell me about it. It's like being, you know, like Andrew Solzhenitsyn and like writing in prison, and it doesn't even matter where you go. It just because all you have is like deadlines and burdens, and you can't do anything fun while you're there because you came for the purpose of writing, and if you don't accomplish the amount of writing you set out to do, you just go home
like
as an abject failure, and it costs money. You know,
it's so much pressure, isn't it, Pipe? I've done it.
Yes,
too. So much pressure.
Oh. The one time I've done it that felt like it was all of everything I just said was true, but it was also fruitful was I had a hard deadline for getting in a revised manuscript and there was just no way I was going to get it done at home. So I took a couple days and went and stayed at like a guest room somewhere at a friend's place and just ground it out. But also I can't write for longer than about 4 hours at a time.
Yeah,
like my brain gets tired. I can't focus. I have to take it in sprints. Not like my dad is like 12 hours a day working on his books. And I don't know how he does it. So that's another reason.
It sounds like 12 hours a day to me. I can't do 4 hours. That feels insane to me. Yeah.
So I'd say like 3 to 4 hours is sort of my, like, that's where I can knock a bunch out, but then like I'm done. And I need to put it away. So writing retreats are just like, unless I do that from like 7 to 11 and then take like 11 to 3 to go do something else and then come back and work like 3 to dinner time or something. And then it's like, why did I go away to spend half the day writing?
Dude, now this bums me out. I mean, we've got the Michael Jordan of retreating here. We've got the king of rest, and I'm not even going to get a retreat out of this thing. I got some soul searching.
What if we
we need to do that. We need to set up just a short little 2 to 3 day retreat where we go and we try to hash this thing out together. And then make a live pod out of it. Out of our adventure.
We could tape some episodes.
Yeah.
So we could get that done. We could get some writing done.
100%.
I mean, life at this point is all about just like selling things to my wife. Like, I think I could sell that to my wife. Like, I think I could make that happen.
I bet we could get it sponsored.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pipe, that's brilliant. Okay, let's get it sponsored.
What if we do a book launch retreat? Like, so we got the writing retreat. That's one thing. And, you know, we get hopefully something productive out of that. But what if we plan a book launch retreat that doesn't involve any work? It's just, it's like Ronnie's version of retreat, where you're just there to not do stuff.
We're just there to launch. Lunch and launch is what.
Lunch and launch. Oh, I love it, dude. We got to get t-shirts. Okay, so how do we get let's get into the weeds of this a little bit, Piper. How do we go about getting a retreat sponsored? Like, who do you talk to about that?
Well, we'd obviously have to give something in return. And so we would have to if we're going to get some episodes out of this, we promise them promotional space in the episodes. And I don't even know that we would pitch it as paying for the retreat as much as, hey, we're going to do this series that is about the writing process and how we're coming to do this, and you could sponsor. Now, the only thing is, we couldn't use a different publishing house than Harvest House, because that'd be a little bit weird. So we'd have to find somebody else to do it. But I think there's something there.
Yeah, I think there is too. I think that's a brilliant idea. Baby, what are the odds that we could get Hyatt Place to throw us a little sponsorship? And trade out some.
That would be, I mean, you're speaking of a dream. I mean, you're
I know,
the greatest pinnacle of all the dreams we've ever dreamt.
Right? I don't know, a couple of classy publishing guys like us.
Well, I know.
Is there a worse writing environment than a hotel room? I think I'd rather write in a bathroom stall.
I don't know, Pipe. Have you ever been to a Hyatt P? I mean, I don't know that you would say that if you had ever. Okay.
Maybe it's not, Ron. Here's what I'm struggling with. And Piper, we're going to need you to put a fine point on this. It sounds to me like you're not as enamored with the Hyatt Place experience as Ron and I are.
Which would obviously be incredibly shocking to me and T.
Is that what you're hearing, Ronald?
Oh, that's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing, baby. That is what I'm hearing.
I don't know that much of a finer point needs to be put on it. I'm not anti. I just I find that the mid-level chain hotels all fall into
all suck
a pretty
in exactly the same way.
Well, I was going to say they all offer almost the exact same amenities. So take that how you will.
I think Hyatt goes a step above that. But boys, why are we even talking about that? Leave it up to me. I'm going to get us a cabin. Don't even sweat.
Yeah, the boys on you're on a cabin kick lately, man. You can't get enough cabins.
If there's not a wood stove, I'm not coming.
Yeah, not a cabin kick lately. It's like I was born. I mean, I was born with a cabin, you know, with a cabin affinity, man. If we're gonna do it, we're gonna do it right, you know, for sure.
Let's do it right.
So we're gonna be in a remote cabin in the beautiful woods.
Get us a little cabin.
We're gonna hire in a chef to like do all the cooking. It's gonna be amazing.
Yeah, well, of course. Yeah, and get it all sponsored. All of it's free. I love it. Baby, where did your love of cabins start? Is this like a Little House on the Prairie growing up in the 80s thing where you just kind of got enamored with the cabin?
Yeah, I don't remember where I think. Yeah, no, I think I can't remember my first cabin experience, but it was up in Big Bear, California. Yeah, my parents rented a cabin. I remember now for like 4 or 5 days. And it was just like, it was one of those unforgettable experiences.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
And it's essentially what you've done for the rest of your life.
And it's essentially what I'm trying to do right now. Yes.
Dreams do come true. Yeah. Look at that.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they come partially true. But any chance I can get up to a cabin, I'm all about it. Whereas Big M is way more like she kind of leans more to the beach, and I lean a little more to the mountains. So there's a little tension we got to work out every once in a while with
that. That's tough, dude. Every couple goes through those.
Every beautiful romance has its exactly. So
do we retreat to the cabin or the mountains or the beach? I mean, these
you
are
know what? It's a really tough decision.
A lot of people in 2020 are going through hard things, and I'm really glad you shared that.
Yeah. Well,
I appreciate your openness on that.
It's vulnerability.
Now we know a little bit more of how to pray for you.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Cause we are coming up to that kind of a decision now, and I really do need some good counsel.
We know what you're dealing with. Would you say, baby, that your pops, and I want to ask about Pipe's dad on this too, but would you say that your pops was the original, was he the OG retreat man your retreat man instincts? Would you say that you sort of got that from him?
I mean, let me just describe the old man like this. Never before have you met a guy that worked so hard at not working. You know what I mean?
I mean, well, I think I have met that guy, respectfully. I feel like I have.
I can picture him in my mind.
He owned a business, and I mean, that was the story of his life, is what can I do to not do anything? Yeah. And he was successful. He was very successful at that. Yes.
Good for him.
Well, nobody accused him of overworking. But he did,
doesn't fall far from the tree then.
Well, he was he was like the smart guy. He was the delegator, right? Sure. He just got people around him to do the things that he visioned and planned and built. He wasn't about to do all the grunt work. You know, that wasn't his style. Yeah.
There you go. There
it is.
There's a certain elegant simplicity to that. Now, Piper, your dad being the, you know, nose to the grindstone, no nonsense. He's got his heated desk. He's putting in 12 hours. The boy's got to go, Piper. Big R's got to go. Baby, thanks for your work on the program today.
Boy, sorry for the early out. You know, I love you. It's not personal. And I'd love to keep talking about cabins and books. But
solid 20 minutes you put in.
Go plan your next retreat. Yeah, I'm glad you also are delegating the rest of this podcast.
Our next retreat, Pipe? I think that's what you mean now.
Yes, that's what I meant.
Right. We'll expect a text by like 2:30 with all the parameters of the retreat.
Yeah, I'll consider it done, boys. We'll talk soon. Okay.
All right. Thanks, baby. Bye-bye. Okay, Piper, your dad, nose to the grindstone, 12 hours on the heated desk. Was he a retreat guy? Like, do you remember him dipping out of like Piper family life for days at a time when you were a kid to go hammer out some book?
He was like the faux retreat guy. So every retreat he went on was for a purpose. You know, it was never just like rest was not a thing, you know, that I remember him ever bringing up. So it was like a pastor's planning retreat where they'd go away to, you know, the camp or retreat house that the denomination owned in northern Minnesota. I think it had a Greek name. It was something like Koinonia House or something like that.
Right. And it was a really sad, like, Baptist campground.
Yeah, it was the campground was sad. I used to go there as a child growing up, but then there was like a house attached to it that was slightly nicer with like a fully functioning kitchen, so somebody could. It was sort of a bed and breakfast feel, but probably like lumpy spring mattresses and things like that. So they do like a prayer and planning or an elder's prayer and planning or a study retreat where he's going to go away and plan out the sermon series for the next year. He took writing leaves, like the church would give him writing leaves as part of his, like, so 2 to 4 weeks where he would just go away. And again, like, that just means he's writing for like 10, 12 hours a day for 2 to 4 straight weeks, which I'm about to jump out of my second story window just because just thinking about that, it sounds so bad.
That's astonishing.
To me.
That's crazy output. I think
I don't remember him ever. Other than like half a day staff retreats, where it'd be like, we're going to go away and just like out to someone's lake house or whatever and just kind of enjoy ourselves. Yeah. But again, that was for a purpose. It was like with this group of people, like he didn't just go luxuriate ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I think baked into like the kind of the old school pastoral makeup was that, you're not ever just like relaxing. And I have to admit, like, I can relate to that. I don't know that we've taken a lot of trips that didn't have some like work function attached to them. Which maybe as a result of being friends with Ron, I'll develop that skill as I get older. Maybe he can teach us, dude. He can teach me how to retreat.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I should clarify. My dad did take vacations and like my parents would go away for their anniversary and so he would do, but that was almost always with family. But in terms of like a retreat, it was always, we're changing locations for a specific purpose. I'm going to go and, you know, read Eugene Peterson and Wendell Berry and just soak in the nothingness of the North or something like that.
Oh, interesting. Could you do that? Like, are you capable of that kind of experience? Because I'm not sure I am. Like, I don't know that I could go someplace with a stack of books that are intended to make me feel deep and make me, like, think big thoughts and just sit there and be okay with it.
I think I could if I knew that there was going to be a lot of, like, other things baked in as well. So like, all right, we're going to do this for parts of every day, but then like we can go snowshoeing or we can go snowmobiling. Like I'm thinking winter in the far north, or, you know, we can go hiking, we can go whatever. You mix in some of those things, I can do it. And I think I could do like a short, like spiritual retreat, you know, where people go away and they're like, I just need to sort of pray and focus on to see what sort of clarity and peace God provides for this next season of life. But not the sort of just like, I'm just going to go away and like treat the next 3 days as if it's a hot bath with candles and music and stuff. Like I get stir crazy just thinking about it.
I feel like Ron has an infinite capacity for that. And the times in between are just like a couple days at work just to like gear up for the next one, you know?
You know, the song, Everybody's Working for the Weekend. He's just like working for the next retreat.
He's working for Wednesday. You know, we can pack the bag again, get out on the road. Well, I hope this retreat comes together, man. I want to see, in part because I want to see him in action, you know, I want to see him doing what he was most like meant to do in this world, which is rest and like plan it, find a cabin, do the itinerary, the whole thing. I want to see Ronald in his element, and I'm excited to see what comes together on that. All right, Pipe. Let's see. What are we doing now, man? Should we wrap this one and do a quick Patreon one? You and me?
I feel like since we talked about launching a book and potentially writing a book, maybe we should have a brief discussion about what this thing might be. We say might because we have co-written one sample chapter to give the publisher a sense of where we might be going with this and how we write, which is funny because all of us have written a lot before. But so I guess my question for you is, what do you want this to be? Since it's a blue ocean, to use a phrase that whiteboard business leaders use.
Oh, totally, dude. I want there on our retreat to be a whiteboard or some glass that we can write on with those markers.
Yeah, I like the clear glass better. I think it's way cooler than just a whiteboard. Whiteboard feels a little bit early 2000s.
It does, yeah. Whereas the glass, it feels like you're dreaming some really big dreams. You're writing down stuff that you're for sure not going to do, just like the whiteboard. But it feels like it's got more gravitas going on the glass. As far as what I want the book to be, you know... It's funny, and Kyle, if you're listening from Harvest House, like earmuffs now, I haven't really thought about it, even though the whole proposal process was like salesmanship about thinking about it. I know that it's going to be fun. I know that like the kind of writing that we're going to end up doing, I look at it as like these little columns that I write for the paper that are these breezy, like 800 word, not a lot of work, but really fun. And they end up being really fun to read. I'm envisioning my part of the book being a whole lot of those, or some of those smashed together in a chapter or whatever, you know, surrounded by vignettes from you guys. So like we're kind of going to be bouncing stuff back and forth off each other. And the idea of, so here's what I'm enamored by with a book, like any book, the idea of something new, the idea of doing a new format or a new way of unlocking something as a writer appeals to me. So this kind of like quasi conversational, I write 800 words, I send it to you, you write 800, you send it to Ron. You know what I mean? This kind of like round robin.
He writes 27.
He writes 20. Yeah. Ron's were like captions on our stuff. You know,
I like that after you and I wrote our respective 800 and he wrote 27 and then we wrote 400 and 400 respectively, his response was, oh, I see, you guys are trying to flex your writing chops.
We're just actually trying to write a chapter.
I was like, I know, it's like this is a sample chapter for a book, so words help.
Yeah, sample chapter can't be tweet length, you know. I think the boy's so deep into the world of like Yoda tweeting that it's going to be hard for him to like get more than three lines down at a time. We're going to have to lean on him. And he really wasn't messing around about working hard and not working. So,
I think he delegated the sample chapter to us and we just didn't realize it up front.
Exactly. Yeah. We're going to end up doing most of the heavy lifting on this one, Pipe. I'm, you know, okay with that.
Look, if he plans all of the retreats around this thing and we do the heavy lifting, I'm totally down with that. That sounds
fun. Dude, honestly, if he gets us two retreats for nothing, he doesn't have to write a word, and he can just put his name on it. I'm fine with that, dude. You know,
again,
it's all about,
Kyle earmuffs.
Yeah, Kyle earmuffs for sure. All the caveats, but we'll let him drop a few Yoda tweets in there. You know, he can kind of be faux deep for three or four lines at a time wherever he wants if he delivers the couple of retreats. Dude, we gotta have, and okay, we're getting into the nuts and bolts of this thing. We gotta have a chapter that's like all Yoda style from Ron, don't you think?
Oh man, I think that would be, or just like sidebars throughout the book where there's just like, you know, like those little call outs or like the little gray pages that they drop in, call out kinds of things. Yeah, it definitely needs to be a heavy dose. A whole chapter would be, to be fair, it'd be like reading a Seth Godin book, you know.
That's true, dude. Yeah.
Where it's just like, this is just a string of non sequitur statements that are faux deep.
That are intended to like get you to some really shallow place emotionally.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think, because what he wants more than anything in the world is to do a whole book of Yoda. Dude, thank you so much. My kid just brought me a treat, man. What a guy. I'll see you on campus, dude. Yeah. I think Apex Mountain for him in the book world is like a whole book of Yoda. So we got to make sure this book helps him get a little bit closer to realizing that dream.
Yeah, definitely. I think what I'm excited about this book is the fact that there will be no outline.
Yes.
You know, every book I've done before has like a thought arc. And so there's just so much work that goes into refining that, tightening it, making sure it's not redundant, you know, making sure the last 30% is not the regurgitation of earlier ideas just to hit a word count, et cetera. Exactly. You know, and then trying to be intelligent, which this is, I feel like this is much more like every chapter will be a surprise to us.
Yeah.
You know, what is Ted going to send me this time? What is Ronnie going to say in response to Ted? And then, which means you can't plan, which means there's no stress, right. That would freak some people out. But for me, it's like, oh, I just get to read this and then chew on it for a little bit and then respond to it instead of mapping something out.
Dude, I feel like I like this book because it exists primarily for entertainment. There's kind of no other reason for doing it other than just to kind of flex as writers and then entertain people, which is the perfect kind of book to me. Like, we don't have to do discussion questions or like any of that kind of CBA crap that we normally have to do.
The stuff that you want to arm wrestle an editor about.
Exactly. So yeah, we don't have to mess with that stuff.
I think, yeah. And if you know, in the same way that this podcast has a deeper purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, this podcast is exactly what you just described. It's fun. Yeah. It's entertainment. The only reason we've done this thing for 6.5 years is because we enjoy it.
Exactly. You know,
there's no like mission, grand mission, with the exception of there's a strong dose of we want to give people permission to enjoy themselves and not take things so freaking seriously.
Absolutely,
and,
dude.
And I think that's what this book is about. So, you know, whatever direction we go in, there's going to be thoughtfulness in it, because I don't think any of the three of us are just like, we're not off our rockers. We're not unthoughtful people, but neither are we trying to, you know, preach a sermon or make three points and then application kind of thing.
Exactly. No, it's going to be a blast, dude. And hopefully it'll be a blast for people to read. They'll get a little bit of a license to laugh. And just will bring some enjoyment into their lives, which is always a good thing to do.
License to laugh might be a title that Harvest House throws our way if they're listening to this.
Dude, license to laugh is solid, isn't it? Because we never really like decided on a title or hashed out a title. That one's got to be in the mix, man. That's in the discussion, at least. I dig it. Well, Pipe, we've done what we always do on this program, in that we've wandered to and fro throughout 20 minutes of work from Ronald and 40 minutes from us. And in that, we have really done what we always do. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Our world can feel chaotic and uncertain, but we don't have to live enslaved to fear. Christ has promised me and you his peace, and throughout Scripture has provided powerful tools and practical steps to help us experience greater freedom. I'm Jennifer Slattery, lead host of the Faith Over Fear podcast, inviting you to join me and my team as together we learn how to starve our fears and feed our faith. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com or wherever you access podcast content.